Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters engage today's top thinkers from around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas you can put to use in your personal and professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, Close Up Radio digs deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. Close Up Radio, where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thank you very much for joining us, everybody. We're live worldwide on the award-winning Close Up Radio Live. This is your host, Jim Masters. It's a pleasure to welcome back to our show for part two of our series, Gina Brolesky of Experience Human. You know, remote work dynamics and current trends in the labor market are presenting unprecedented challenges. And Gina Brolesky of Experience Human is excited to unveil her latest initiative designed to empower business leaders to effectively navigate and excel during these challenging times. Gina's approach involves engaging remote meeting formats where participants can see and interact with one another. Maintaining a vital element of human communication is what results from that. Experience Human incorporates a range of interactive methodologies that enhance involvement and learning retention. And these include paired interviews, crowdsourcing activities, wisdom circles, all designed to tap into the collective intelligence of the group. All sorts of different choreographies get people involved, unlocking the collective brain power in the room, which yields significantly better outcomes, according to Gina. Her methodologies truly rooted in her brain-based coaching certification from the Neuro Leadership Institute in New York. And her coaching philosophy involves guiding individuals to unlock their own insights through powerful questioning. Her goal is to stay out of her clients' way. It really is about activating their knowledge and ideas, which moves them towards insights and new thinking to solve problems. Her offerings include a host of free and low-cost courses designed to support service-oriented professionals, ensuring that financial barriers do not prevent access to vital resources. These learning events, conducted almost entirely online, are accessible to participants worldwide. My pleasure to welcome her back as we continue this incredible conversation and the series. Gina Brolesky of Experience Human joining us from Falston, Maryland. Gina, welcome back to Close Up Radio Live. It's a real pleasure to have you with us.
Oh, thanks, Jim. Grateful to be back. Thanks so much.
Boy, that week since the last time we chatted went by in a New York minute, didn't it? That was fast.
It sure did. It was.
Yeah, it's amazing. Well, we've been talking a lot about your amazing career, 35-plus your career in human services. Maybe we can refresh for those that joined us last week, or introduce some of it to the new listeners who are listening this week, and review just a little bit about that extraordinary career and some of the inspirations that you have found along the way working in human services.
Yeah, sure. So it has been over 35 years, and it's been a bit of a time.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think I just kind of fell into it from a friend, and I have always loved supporting people who are in service to others. And that really did start way back when I was a teenager and started working as a direct support worker in the field of intellectual disabilities and supporting people that had varying levels of disabilities. And I guess, you know, along the way, I just met so many wonderful people who were receiving services, wonderful people who were employed in the different agencies, and it just grabbed me. I don't know. I don't know what it was, but it was obvious to me that this was something I was going to be in for the long term, and it certainly turned out that way. And I spent most of my career working in New York City for a large agency there, and I always say I was really blessed to sort of grow up there, because at the time they were really sort of the cutting edge organization, if you will. They were just on so many wonderful, like the cusp of so many things. And I was able to be exposed to what we call person-centered planning and supervision and person-centeredness, if you will, where we're looking at that person at the center of all the things that we were doing. And that's a big thing now, but, you know, 30 years ago, it was a big thing when I was working there. And so I just say I was really, really blessed to work in a company that just was very progressive and was ahead of their time. And so I had some wonderful mentors and wonderful training. And it just, you know, locked me in really for life until just a few years ago when I kind of really branched off and just started my own business because I felt like there was more work I could do to support other agencies across the country and, you know, outside of the country. So, yeah, that's a little bit about it.
Now, you you experienced directly 9/11 as well as, you know, an active shooter event and spent time in the Middle East. And we touched the surface of that last week, but didn't really get further involved with time constraints. But maybe we can elaborate a little bit more and tell us about how experiencing these events, I mean, those are three, any one of those three, 9/11, an active shooter event, and any time in the Middle East at all, that's enough to shape anybody's world dramatically forever. From your perspective, experiencing these things, how did it change you? How did it help shape your resilience? What are lessons learned? How have you come out and through those things uniquely impacted, but also with a unique human perspective?
Yeah. Well, gosh. So I was working for that company in New York City on 9/11, and I was two blocks away from the Javits Center, which, you know, as many people know, that was the first staging area. So right in the thick of things, and, you know, obviously terrifying and scary and horrible, and I just remember thinking, like, you know, what is going on, and what is all of this? And truly, I had never really pondered the word resilience. Like, it just wasn't something that I talked about. It wasn't something I thought about until later that day. So, you know, as you can imagine, the bridges were closed. I couldn't get home. I lived in the Hudson Valley, worked in New York City, and so had to cross the bridge and to get home about 30 miles north. And it just took hours and hours to figure out a way to get home. And at the time, my kids were little, and my husband picked them up at school. And I remember, you know, finally getting home. And my husband said, you know, when he went to the school and picked up my five-year-old, the first question he asked was, is mommy dead? So it was like, wow, okay, that just sort of hit me that here's this five-year-old that, I mean, he saw and heard things going on in his school. And he wasn't in New York City. He was, you know, at least, you know, 30, 40 miles north of there, but we were such a commutable town that many of the teachers had lost people that day. And, you know, so he experienced people crying and talking about things, you know, and whatever he heard, is, you know, as his little brain was processing these things, that was just the first thing that came to him when he saw my husband was, you know, he thought his mommy died in the city that day. And so that was when I first started to think about, what, you know, what is this concept of resilience and why is it important, and especially to children? And so, you know, I guess that was just sort of the first piece of it, and started to think, how do I help him to move beyond this and then become a resilient adult? And, you know, that, you know, many years later, I ended up working with Dr. George Everly from Johns Hopkins. And, you know, I always feel like, you know, things happen in life for a reason. And he and I were put together to write this children's book, you know, on developing resilience and social intelligence and understanding that we need an important social network. We need a friend. We don't need lots of them. We just need one or two good ones that will help us to be resilient. We need that person in our lives. And so I just, you know, that day was the first day that was like, okay, resilience is an important thing because I have to move beyond this and I have to help my family move beyond this. So, yeah, so that was kind of the first thought I probably had about resilience was that day.
Yeah, I can only imagine. And you co-authored a book about resilience with resilience expert Dr. George Everly Jr. of Johns Hopkins for children titled Rodney Makes a Friend. Tell us about the coordination with the doctor, how that happened, and then about the book. And congratulations on it.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Yeah, Dr. Everly is a wonderful person, and I did mention last week, you know, I just encourage people to Google him because he is just an amazing human being and just a wonderful, wonderful resilience expert. So he's, you know, just been all over the world and done so many things, and I was really, truly blessed to be introduced to him when I first came down to Maryland, and it just, you know, through a friend, and we sort of hit it off, and we ended up teaching some classes together, and he's got a book out called The Resilient Child, and he's got The Resilient Leader book out. And so we did a lot of classes together based on those books. And then ultimately he said, you know, I think we need to write a children's book because that's where we have to start. We've got to start with the kids. We've got to start helping them to understand what it is to be resilient and how to build some skills. So Rodney Makes a Friend is really about just this ordinary rabbit who is a little bit lonely and a little bit shy. And he encounters some other little animals that help him to figure out what he needs to do to be a good friend. And so it's teaching kids that, you know, in order to have friends, you have to be a good friend. You have to understand what it is to be a good friend and the golden rule of friendship and understanding what the other child might want from you as a friend. And so it starts there. It starts helping them to develop that first social support network that can help them to develop resilience over time. So yeah, so we, you know, it was one of those things. We got put together through a friend and we've been friends ever since. So yeah.
What was the writing process like? How long did it take to actually write the book? That alone is a whole process.
Yes. And we did have Dr. Everly's daughter, Andrea, helping us. She's a wonderful creative writer as well, and she does the voices for the video version, which is on my website, and that is free there, so people can go there and watch that video version. So it was the three of us really collaborating on it, and it went through many iterations. We had some fun with it, and I think it was fun because it was, you know, a children's book, and, you know, we weren't, you know, getting too crazy about it. And we just enjoyed the process. And so nobody took it bad when we said, yeah, we don't like that part, you know, let's redo it. Or, you know, so we just really had some fun with it. And it took probably a couple of years. I'm going to say about 2 years to really, you know, finish it. And then we published it through Book Baby. So it is available there as well. And, so it was a very fun sort of creative process, but it took a while, went through a couple iterations.
Tell us about how resilience plays out in your work with your clients.
Yeah, so, you know, it's interesting. Let me talk about one client in particular. So I work downtown in Baltimore with several of the Safe Streets programs, you know, and these are in neighborhoods that are tough neighborhoods. And all of the men and women of this program are probably some of the most resilient people that I've met. They're just amazing men and women, and they are called violence interrupters. And essentially, they stand on street corners keeping people from killing each other. I mean, that's truly what they do. They're just amazing, amazing individuals. And I've been blessed to work with them for about the last 4 years in Baltimore. And we spend a lot of time talking about, you know, what it is that they do, the things that they encounter. There's a lot of trauma that they encounter, and how do they deal with it? And so I do a lot of training around emotional intelligence and reframing thoughts. And so part of, you know, building that resilience personally is to, you know, think about how we can reframe things that happen to us that are negative or we have negative reactions to, and how do we reframe that into a more favorable or a sort of positive framing where maybe there's something we can learn from it. Because there are awful events, and they're never going to be positive. But is there something that we can take from it? Is there something we can learn from it? And just reframe it and say, okay, this happened, and, you know, I can move on, and I can take this piece with me because this helped me. This is going to help me to move into the future. I've learned something here. So we spend a lot of time on that. We also look at how do we build, you know, group cohesion, because part of that teamwork is that social support, right? And that's part of what helps us to be resilient as individuals, but also resilient as a team. So we want to make sure that we're fostering that group cohesion. So we spend a lot of time talking about how does the team dynamic work? Is there, you know, conflicts that we need to resolve here? And we want to make sure that we're building that psychological safety within the group so people feel safe to bring up concerns or share their thoughts without feeling like, you know, I'm going to be shut down or there's going to be repercussions for me to bring this up. So that's just a couple of the things that we do, but really building not only individual resilience, but team resilience, right? And we can even spread that to organizational resilience. But particularly that group stands out for me because of the work that they do and just observing some of the things that they encounter. They're just amazing, amazing people who are resilient and continually need to kind of shore up that resilience just on a day-to-day basis. So, yeah, just, you know, a few of those things I think we use in a lot of cases, like, you know, building optimism, and self-efficacy is another one where we, you know, believe that we can do something, that we can fulfill the goals that we've set for ourselves. So the belief in oneself, and part of that is, you know, understanding who we are and the self-awareness, and, you know, that emotional intelligence training, you know, really helps in that arena.
It does, doesn't it? And you're supporting mm-hmm. professionals with free and low-cost services too, which I think is something of great value to current and potential clients. Tell us about that.
Yeah, you know, I think because I grew up in nonprofit services and I just always feel like resources are very tight, and I work with private clients, I work with nonprofits, I work with profit making, but my heart is truly in sort of the nonprofit sector, especially, you know, with those that are serving others. That's really, really important to me, and I don't want things to be cost prohibitive, and I want to make sure that those who maybe historically haven't gotten certain types of training or services, that those are available to them, you know, that whether it's coaching or learning how to coach their team up or understanding how to deal with performance issues and, you know, anything and everything. You know, we have a fun one coming up here in November, early November, called Holiday Harmony, because these positions that these folks are in are often incredibly stressful. And then you pile on the stress of the holidays and, you know, it's just really, really a difficult time for a lot of people. So I try and do something around the holidays where we can come together, you know, have a bit of fun together, but really think about, you know, what are some tools that we can use to maybe lower that stress a little bit. And so we have that in early November, and that's free. And, you know, we would love whoever wants to come, whoever feels like they could use a little, maybe, you know, stress management for the holiday season coming up, but just so that they can get together, they can share ideas. You know, I'm certainly not the smartest person in the room, and so I like to tap into that collective wisdom of the group and, you know, hear what other people are doing to help manage their stress. And so we always learn together. You know, there's always something new we can take from one of those groups. And so, yeah, so that's coming up. That's an hour and 15 minutes. So we always try and keep it short so people can fit it into their day. So that'll be early November. And then we have another really fun one coming up. I want to say it's mid-November. And it's about amplifying your impact and influence, which is so many of us, you know, in our jobs today, feel fulfilled when we feel like we are making an impact, right? I mean, we are doing a job. We want it to be meaningful. We want to have impact on whatever it is that we're doing or whatever, you know, population we're serving, whatever it is. And so this one is based on the DISC assessment and understanding ourselves so that we can look for those things that we're really good at and maybe some of the blind spots that we don't always see and being able to address those. And once we do that, we can have much more influence and impact in the role that we're playing. So that one is really fun. I love to use the DISC assessment. I've been using it for years. It's, if not the most, it's one of the most scientifically reliable tools that we have out there at our disposal, both for personal growth, but also for team development. I use it a lot with leaders for team development. So it's just a wonderful tool, and that's a really low-cost session. That's a two-hour session. So, again, we would love, you know, anyone and everyone who wants to attend that, but we have a really good time with that training. It's a fun one. People love it. So we keep repeating that one. So, yeah, we've got some really good stuff coming up, and, you know, I hope people can take advantage of it. And there's always scholarships, you know, and I always say just on my contact page, please reach out. Like if there's a question, an issue, you know, you're not sure you can do it, please just reach out to me. You know, we make something happen. You know, we'll do that for you for sure. So, yeah.
I mentioned that your coaching philosophy involves guiding individuals to unlock their own insights through the powerful questioning. The goal is to stay out of the client's way. It's about activating their knowledge and ideas, which then allows them to move towards insights and new thinking to solve problems, right? Sometimes that moving forward, getting out of the box, and new perspectives, new thinking can actually help solve problems, because we all sometimes can get stuck in a rote method of doing the same thing over and over and over, and then wondering, how come nothing is moving forward and how come the problems aren't being solved? So it's a different way of looking at things with a new, fresh way of thinking, which you help guide your clients to do, right?
Yeah. And so it is, you know, and I know we talked about it, staying out of people's way, but you're exactly right. It's having the trust or the just the understanding that the person in front of you that you're coaching has so much inside of them. You know, that's really where we start. And so if I believe that, if I believe that they've got wonderful ideas and thoughts inside of them, then I just have to ask questions to help bring it out and help them to make different connections. And I was on, actually, I was on a call yesterday and with a lovely young woman, and she just, you know, wasn't even sure really what she wanted to talk about. She just knew she was struggling with some deadlines and her focus. And so I just started to ask her some questions about that. And, you know, she thought it was a time management issue, and what we uncovered that it was more of a focus issue. And so then as we continued to talk, and I just really asked her so many questions about that focus and, you know, what that felt like for her, what it looked like, and how did she want to feel when that wasn't an issue, you know, because she was feeling so frustrated and stressed right now, that she wanted to feel that sense of relief when, you know, she could focus and she felt accomplished. And so kind of focusing towards the future, right? We want to be sort of future focused when we're coaching. She also came to the insight that she actually was afraid of letting her clients down. And she said, you know, and I said to her, because I kind of got this sense that that was a bit of an aha, and I said, have you ever said that before, that you were afraid, you know, like that word, you know, afraid come out? And she said, no, I've never said that before. And I actually didn't even realize it until you started asking me these questions. And she's like, you know, that was a bit of an aha for me, that I am afraid that I'm going to let my clients down, and I start to get nervous, and then I can't focus, and it almost kind of perpetuates that being not focused. And so it was just a very interesting conversation with her that, you know, this was something she had not thought about. And it was truly just through the two of us kind of going back and forth, me asking questions, her answering, that she came to that, and then ended up coming up with, you know, what is she going to do? We did, you know, an action plan, and we built in some accountability there. But it was just, you know, it was kind of interesting to watch her go through that process and come to that insight. But people have great stuff inside. And when we trust that and believe that, and we ask powerful questions, oftentimes they will come to a great insight that is better than if we were to just say, hey, go do this, right? We think we have great ideas, and we do, but, you know, their ideas are probably better for them. And so if we can stay out of the way and let them come up with their own ideas, they're more likely to go ahead and do them, you know, and be accountable to them, because they're their ideas. So, yeah, so it was a fun meeting yesterday to see that.
That's great. That's fantastic. What is one of the main things that you hope people get out of working with you, some of the uniqueness to the way you approach everything?
Well, I think, you know, what do I hope that they get? I mean, I really want them to build their own self-efficacy. I want them to feel like they've got what it takes to do whatever it is that they want to do, you know, that they believe in themselves. You know, I don't want to be there long-term, frankly. I want to help them to see that, you know, they can do this at whatever it is and put some things together, and then they go off and do them. You know, I don't want them to have to rely on me, if you will. That's not, you know, that's not the goal. The goal is for them to be independent thinkers, for them to feel that they have what it takes to to get those things done. And, you know, whether that's just, you know, building self-efficacy, building self-confidence, helping them to plan to move forward, whatever that is. But I want them to, you know, not need me long-term. That's not the goal. The goal is, you know, to help in the short term, to deal with the issue at hand, and then let's, you know, move on. And I, you know, I love when people come to the training, and I think that that's great. So if they can come back and visit once in a while, I love that. I love to see old friends and old faces, and it's a lot of fun. But I don't want them to have to rely on my coaching long term. That's not the goal for me. So I don't know if that makes sense, Jim, but that's kind of, you know, what's going on in my head.
Yeah, you're not holding their hand, and they're not with them 24/7. You're giving them tools and methodologies, techniques, and allowing them to sort of build their own confidence and resilience, so they, when they are met with challenges, can call upon things that you've shown them, things you've relayed to them, things that you have taught them and inspired mm-hmm. them to do, that they will then pick up. Oh, yeah, that's right. How would Gina handle this? How did she, that's right. She mentioned approach it this way. And they mm-hmm. can call upon that, right?
That's right. Yeah, see, you said
it's
it.
Brain-based coaching.
For that. That's right.
Yeah.
You're exactly right. Yeah.
You think it,
that's
I'll
exactly
say it.
That's exactly what I
want. This is a brain-based conversation.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Perfect.
And all of this with the certification, which we want to remind folks, from the Neuro Leadership Institute in New York, and that's big. That's, I mean, to have that certification and to have been involved with the teachings of the Institute, it's terrific, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, I mean, it's a wonderful place. I mean, I just encourage people to, you know, again, Google the Neuro Leadership Institute, Dr. David Rock. They are a wonderful research organization. They have so much wonderful material. They do a conference every year that's excellent. It's a brain-based conference, so they build in a lot of brain techniques into the conference. They share a lot of information and data, and it's just very helpful. I mean, I am a really big brain science nerd, so I do look at it through that lens. So, you know, mm-hmm. it's exciting for me. It may not be exciting for everyone, but I do encourage people to, you know, check that organization out. They're just really, really wonderful, you know, if you're into any of that stuff. And it's very helpful. It's all done sort of with the idea of leaders using the information to, you know, lead in a more effective way. So, you know, I find it fascinating.
GinaBrelesky.com is the website, GinaBrelesky.com. Terrific conversation and series, and I hope we get a chance to explore some more together. Gina, you do incredibly impactful and inspired work that I know sort of comes back at you full circle like a boomerang, which is a beautiful thing as you, again, show people the way so they can have the confidence in themselves to do it for themselves, and that's the best way to do it. Gina Brelesky of Experienced Human joining us here. I hope you enjoyed the time with me as much as I have with you, and I hope that maybe we'll have you back and we can hear testimonials and success stories, things of that nature. That would be wonderful. Thanks for joining us, Gina, and hope you enjoyed the time with me once again as I have with you.
Absolutely, Jim. Thank you so much. So grateful to have been with you again.
Absolutely. The pleasure is all ours. You keep doing you and the extraordinary work that you're doing. Gina Brelesky of Experienced Human. Connect with her. You'll be glad you did. Go to GinaBrelesky.com. That's GinaBrelesky.com. This is your host, Jim Masters, thanking you for your time this time. Till next time, right here on Close Up Radio, we appreciate you being with us as well. Come see us again. Matter of fact, don't go anywhere. I'll be back in just a few minutes with another great guest right here on Close Up Radio Live. Till then, for all of us, have a great day. Thanks for listening, and bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television, Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.